Gathered here tonight to mourn. We've gathered here tonight to remember what took place. Between Friday night and Sunday morning, this is the center of our faith. It's the center of what we proclaim to be the gospel. We believe that this story that proceeds from now until Sunday morning, that it is the most powerful story ever told, that it is has the power to raise the dead. It has the power to transform hearts that are hard. It has the power to sanctify us and to make us holy. If we'll just hear it again and again and again, and if God, by his grace, would send his Spirit to help us to see it. And so tonight we've gathered to tell this story again. We'll begin with a call to worship where we'll do a responsive reading, and then we'll sing some music together. And then after that, the lights are going to come down, and then we're just going to read through Matthew's account of Jesus' death. And during that readings, you'll mostly just listen. At one point during the readings, we're going to ask that you would play the part of Peter. And so after reading the section where Peter denies Christ, we're going to ask you to respond to the question with, "I do not know the man." And there'll be moments tonight where we sit in silence for a few minutes. Tonight is meant to be a night of remembrance, of reflection, of mourning. It's our hope that it would be a joyful sorrow, though, a sorrow that recognizes that tonight our sins were dealt with. We'll end tonight with communion. And then we're going to ask that after you take communion, if you would leave in silence. And just don't talk to anyone until you get outside and take a few minutes. We'll give you as much time as you need in here before you take communion and leave. But we're going to ask that tonight we're going to leave in darkness and in silence. And I would even encourage you tomorrow to let a little bit of that reflection and that quietness kind of spill over into your day. We've got three small children, but we try to take Saturday between Good Friday and Easter and make it as quiet and as peaceful and as kind of a reflective day as possible as we prepare for Sunday morning. So I would just encourage you in that to think on your own sin, to think on God's love for you in the cross, and that's what we're going to do. So welcome, and if you go ahead and stand with me. We'll begin with this reading from John. "God is light, in whom there is no darkness at all. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Everyone that does evil hates the light and does not come to the light. But all who do what is true come to the light. Come, let us worship in spirit and in truth."
Until it was accomplished. Thank you. hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. My sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Praise you. Lord, we just come before you humbly tonight. Lord, just in awe of the pain that you experienced on our behalf, Lord, the fact that you became sin, who knew no sin, Lord, to remove our sins. And Lord, we can never fathom or comprehend the pain that you experienced, not only physically, but being separated from the Father. And so, Lord, we just ask that your Spirit would be here tonight, that your presence would be here, convicting us and leading us to the cross. Lord, that we would just see the cross as beautiful, that we would be filled with sorrow, but filled with love and joy at the same time. And Lord, we just praise you and praise us all in King Jesus' name. Amen.
Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised, I will go before you to Galilee." And Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. And then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death, and remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came back to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, that my betrayer is at hand.
While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, the one I will kiss is the man. Seize him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, greetings, Rabbi. And he kissed him. Jesus said to him, friend, do what you came to do. Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so? At the hour Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled.
Then those who had seized Jesus came to him, to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, this man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up and said, have you no answer to make? What is this that these men testify against you? But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, he has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? They answered, he deserves death. Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean? But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you mean. And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly, you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse to himself and to swear, I do not know the man. And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly.
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself.
But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him on whom a price had been set by some of the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, you have said so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted, and they then had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called the Christ? For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, which of the two do you want me to release for you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, let him be crucified. And he said, why? What evil has he done? But they shouted all the more, let him be crucified.
So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him.
As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief of priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him." For he said, "I am the Son of God," and the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way.
Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit.
Listen to the prophet Isaiah. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. What does this story mean? I mean, most people have heard it. They've seen movies. They've heard the story that Jesus came and he was crucified on a cross. People wear crosses around their necks. They hang them in buildings. They put them on steeples. They know the story, but do you know what it means? What does all this mean? Isaiah here tells us, hundreds of years before it happens, what all of it means. Unless we think that the Jews or the Roman soldiers kind of whisked Jesus away and snuck him off and killed him, hear again what Isaiah says. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. The deepest part meaning of the story is not that men killed Jesus, it's that God killed Jesus. The Father crushed Jesus. You see, the deepest meaning of this story is that you and I deserve to be crushed. And yet Jesus is crushed in our place. We were meant to be stricken. Our sins, our rebellion, our selfishness, our self-worship was meant to be stricken, was meant to be crushed. But instead of you and I being crushed, Jesus was crushed. You and I were meant to be spit on, but instead of us being spit on and mocked, Jesus is spit on and mocked. You and I deserve to be scourged, but instead of you and I being scourged, Jesus is scourged. So we gather here tonight to remember this story, because in this story, may we see, this is the cost of your sin. Sin is no small thing, and God does not treat it as a small thing. He crushed his son to pay the penalty for your sin, for my sin. In the cross, we see the sheer magnitude of God's esteem for his glory. He will not sweep sin under the rug. He will not sweep rebellion under the rug. It must be paid for. And in the cross, we see the sheer magnitude of God's love for us. He did not leave us in darkness. He did not leave us to face his wrath for all of eternity. He did not leave us as his enemies, but he crushed the Son that we might have peace. Peace with God, that we might be called sons and daughters of God. This is the meaning of this night. I'm going to pray. And then after I pray, I want you to sit in your seat and just reflect on this night. Reflect on the meaning of the cross. Reflect on the historical facts of the cross. Reflect on this story. And when you're ready, I invite you to come forward. And there'll be people here serving communion to take the bread and dip it in the wine and receive again the body and the blood of Jesus. And then go home in silence and remember this night. Let's pray. Jesus, you were forsaken so that we wouldn't be. Jesus, you were mocked so that we wouldn't be. Jesus, you were spit upon and you were beaten. You had nails driven through your wrists and your ankles so that we wouldn't suffer death. And Jesus, you were forsaken by the Father so that we wouldn't be forsaken by the Father. Thank you. Send your Spirit and let us remember. Let us remember and let us be changed by it again. Amen.